Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk again with Dr. Cal Beissner, and he is with the Cornwall Alliance, and specifically we're going to talk about a story where some of the attorney generals of some of our states are actually discussing the possibility of persecuting climate skeptics. And Cal, I have to say, when I first saw this article, I thought, wow, Galileo, call your office.
Yes, indeed. Galileo and lots of other people in the past have been persecuted for the truth. Of course, Jesus tells us, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So I guess as Christians, we should just welcome this kind of thing.
Yeah, now the other side would, by the way, the other side would quickly say, well, wait a minute, it was the church that was persecuting Galileo. Yes, but you have to put the overall context was the point was that sometimes you could have a lone scientist who's speaking the truth and the establishment shuts that person down because this doesn't conform with the established understanding.
Right. Whoever that establishment is, whether it's the church or a totally secular and paganized government like the one that we now have. You know, Jerry, what really tickles me is the photograph of these AGs, the photograph of these AGs United for Clean Power, because of the name that they chose. Here they are gathered on a stage with a lectern in front of them, Al Gore, by the way, standing right there with them, and they call themselves AGs United for Clean Power. Well, that just telegraphs instantly that their concern is not about law, but about politics, because that clean power phrase at the very end there actually comes from the informal title of President Obama's legacy piece of environmental regulation, the Clean Power Plan, which is under attack right now at the Supreme Court. It's being, it will be soon, I think, at the Supreme Court. This is his attempt to force a reduction in CO2 emissions around the United States in order to fight global warming. Now, these AGs declared by naming themselves this way that they are clearly pursuing a political agenda, not the enforcement of law. And that they would have Al Gore standing with them is really ironic, because what they say they're after is to prosecute civilly or criminally people that they say are involved in fraud. Now, legal fraud is knowingly conveying false information with the aim of enriching yourself or harming another person financially. Now, if there's anybody who obviously fits that, it would be Al Gore, who's made hundreds of millions of dollars, largely through his investment in and control of carbon trading schemes, the value of which depends entirely on the perception of dangerous man-made global warming. And he promoted that perception through his book and film, An Inconvenient Truth, which, by the way, was challenged in a British court as it was being shown in British schools by a parent who said there are a lot of scientific errors in here. And as a matter of fact, the judge ruled that, yes, indeed, there were quite a number of just simple factual scientific errors, and that therefore the film could only be shown in the British schools if it were accompanied by a document warning that the film was primarily a political statement, not a scientific one, and correcting its scientific errors. Now, that's Gore's work. If anybody should be investigated for something like this, it would not be, you know, climate scientists all around the world who question the reality of dangerous man-made warming. It would be Al Gore.
You know, it really is a terrible thought, though, Cal, that in an area where there are scientists who are just as bona fide as other scientists who disagree with the thesis of man-made global warming, that they would be punished. In some cases, I know some would like to strip them of their credentials or whatever because they don't believe this. And yet it seems to me, and in fact, I saw a film years ago that put this whole thing in perspective, and it was something like the great global warming swindle.
Yes.
And the whole gist of the whole thing was you're not going to get funding if you try to create some study that disagrees with the thesis of man-made global warming. So all the studies and all the money and all the research goes for man-made global warming. So, you know, it's like fighting an uphill battle any way you look at it, but science is still science and the truth is still truth, and the truth will win out at the end of the day, eventually.
Yeah, and really, Jerry, it's tremendously ironic because, as you just mentioned, so many of these scientists who are touting the global warming alarmist lines are funded by government dollars. Now, frankly, the government money that goes into this stuff is thousands of times as much as whatever money funds climate scientists who disagree with this mm-hmm. idea. Mm-hmm. And so if anybody's got a strong financial motive to, shall we say, twist or stretch the truth a little bit, it would be those people who get thousands of times more than the folks on the opposite side of this controversy. it's just a really sad and ironic thing. And yet, you know, in reality, 31,000 some scientists have signed the global warming petition online at the petitionproject.org. That's petitionproject.org, in which they say that there is no persuasive scientific evidence that human emissions of carbon dioxide or other greenhouse gases are causing, or in the foreseeable future will cause, dangerous global warming, and that, in fact, carbon dioxide added to the atmosphere does more good than harm by enhancing plant growth, which means more food for everything. You know, hundreds and hundreds of scientists have signed various different statements, public statements, including two that the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation put out last year, one an open letter to Pope Francis and the other an open letter to the American people, both on climate change, both with hundreds of scientists, including many climate scientists, as their signatories. Well, this indicates that this is not just, you know, some tiny group of specially paid-off scientists somewhere. This is widespread disagreement among bona fide scientists.
But the sad thing is that I'll bet you, you know, professors like that, especially if they didn't have tenure, they might be out on the chopping block. Even those with tenure sometimes, you know, can get fired. Certainly we've seen this on a different issue, but the issue of intelligent design or
yes.
creation in science versus evolution.
Yeah, we have. And, you know, Jerry, it's not by accident either, because the underlying worldview behind both the naturalistic evolutionary thinking and the Earth is so fragile that a tiny, tiny increase in CO2 in the atmosphere is going to cause catastrophic warming that will threaten civilization and perhaps life itself. The fundamental worldview behind both of those is an atheistic, materialistic worldview where you don't have the rational God who designs an orderly universe that he sustains by his faithful power. Colossians 1 tells us that in Christ all things hold together. Instead, you have just the result of blind chance over time, and that results in a tremendously fragile environment. Well, you know, if you've got that materialistic worldview, then you really don't even have a basis to believe that there's such a thing as reason.
Mm.
You know, when two billiard balls meet on a table, they don't exactly stop and hold a conversation and say, which way are you going to go? How fast are you going to go? It's just simply a transfer of energy. It's brute force that determines where they go afterward. Well, if matter and energy in motion is all that exists, then none of our ideas are the result of anything but brute force. There is no such thing as reasoning. And then, of course, if you're not persuading your people who disagree with you about something, you don't try harder to reason with them because you really don't believe in reason anyway. Instead, you resort to force, and that's why that kind of procedure is becoming so widespread on so many different issues. The left, the atheistic, the secularistic way of thinking is all in favor of shutting people up. Free speech, free press, free inquiry, academic freedom, all of those things really we owe to Christianity that set them up, not to secularism.
That is so true. And in fact, I mean, if you just look at, honestly, the totalitarian regimes of the 20th century, all of which were atheistic, or if you take the case of Hitler, he had this sort of pantheistic god, small g, not at all the Christian god, and in fact, he was very much into the occult. But anyway, you look at all these different regimes, and they were definitely anti-Christian, and they shut everything down. You disagree with us, we're going to chase you. And even in the example of Stalin versus Trotsky, who was a fellow revolutionary along with Lenin, Trotsky was chased to the ends of the earth and finally killed by Stalin, both atheists, both communists, but it's just a sheer force of power, bottom line, use of power.
Yeah, that is certainly so. And you know, that's why, as Christians, we have to dig down to the worldview level. We have to not be satisfied to just look at the superficial arguments here. We have to see what's in the worldview beneath these things. That's what the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation is really focused on. We bring excellent science and excellent economics together with excellent biblical worldview, theology, and ethics in order to analyze these issues at a far more profound, deep level than typically happens. So we put our papers on that at cornwallalliance.org, tell about them on our Facebook page, and this has been a wonderful way for us to help Christians to think through these issues.
All right, so recapping our top story, here you have a situation where 16 attorney generals of states are talking about the possibility of trying to prosecute, track down and prosecute for fraud, evil skeptics of climate change. And you know, here's a question for you. In fact, you raised it in your own article. Well, what about the hockey stick graph? Wasn't there some controversy about that? Could that be involved in, could that be fraud related?
Yeah.
Or what about the email scandal? We forget about
that. And for those of your listeners who are not familiar with either of these, the hockey stick graph was a graph produced by a paleoclimatologist by the name of Michael Mann back in 1997 and 1998 that purported to show that global average temperature had been very stable for a couple thousand years and then suddenly shot up starting late in the 19th century but really moving fast in from the mid-20th century on. As it turned out, he had badly mishandled a bunch of data from tree ring thickness over the centuries, had used a statistical methodology called principal components analysis wrongly. He didn't understand how it properly worked, and when you corrected for that, the hockey stick disappeared. That sudden uptick in temperature disappeared, and the medieval warm period and the Little Ice Age, which he had erased from the earlier periods, reappeared. And he had hidden his data. He had refused to share his data. He had refused to share his computer code until, at last, congressional action forced him to do it, even though the publication policies of the publications in which he had published this work had required that he make such things public so that people could test. Now, that's at the heart of
science.
Healthy science.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't do that. And then later on, you referred to the email scandals. This was ClimateGate, the release in November of 2009 of about 3,000 emails and a bunch of computer code from the Climatic Research Unit at the University of East Anglia in England, in which we got to see, we got to actually read the stuff back and forth among about a dozen and a half of the climate alarmists at the very heart of the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and the whole global warming alarmist movement around the world, in which they very clearly suppressed data that disagreed with their theory. They exaggerated data. They manufactured data out of thin air. They intimidated scientists who disagreed with them. They corrupted the peer review process to prevent publication of contrary ideas. They intimidated editors of journals, even got one fired from a journal because he had dared to publish something that disagreed with them. All of this is highly unethical, and totally contrary to the policies mm-hmm. of peer review at journals all over the world, and yet they did it. They even used the phrase "hide the decline" to describe the fact that in one picture of long-term temperature data, they had switched late in that period from what's called proxy data to actual thermometer measurements, but they didn't tell anybody that they had made the switch. Now, why did they switch? Because the proxy data, if they continued with that, showed a decline in temperature, which indicated that it had not been reliable for the previous period. So they were just fudging all over the place. This is the kind of thing that
there's a word for that.
Dishonest, but it shouldn't be prosecuted.
Yeah.
It's not the point to appeal to force somehow. The point is to keep rational discourse, rational dialogue free and open so that, as you said earlier, the truth will out.
Yep, and there's a word for all that, Dr. Beissner, and it's called fraud. Thanks so much for being with us. CornwallAlliance.org for more information. God bless you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry. God bless you.
All right, bye-bye.